Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. (clears throat) 7:35 on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're here. We're here weekday morning, 6 till 8, as you get your day started, and we seek to connect faith to life. Still to come, some more thoughts on the outcome of last night's elections. We'll let you hear Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, actually, thanking God for the opportunity to serve his states. Also, U.S. Senator Al Franken from Minnesota, thanking his supporters and pledging to serve the interests of Minnesota going forward for another term. More of that on the way in just moments. Question, do you remember? Do you remember what? Well, do you remember important things and things that have come up along the way over the course of your child's life? And how do we impart memorable moments, create memorable moments with our kids? Joining us to talk about it, parenting experts extraordinaire. Yes, they are clinical, professionally trained individuals. They know parenting from firsthand experience as well. John and Kendra Smiley on our guest line. Welcome back, you two. So good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
What an interesting title for a piece that you've written. Do you remember? I note that you say there's a link between the ability to recall memories from daily life and important competencies in life. Wow. Memories and competency. Tell us about that.
Well, the studies are showing that kids who can remember and interpret their dreams from early childhood benefit. Why? They have a sense of identity, they form relationships better, and they make better choices in adolescence. That's a good reason.
Stories, right? And dreams?
Yes. Oh, well, anything that happened, you know, any sort of thing, you know, you come home from school one day and you talk about what happened. You go on a family vacation and you help these kids remember what happened.
Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting that the two of you bring this up today. Earlier this morning, a gentleman who offers commentary and advice on financial planning and money management, a gentleman named David Smith, he was with us about an hour and a half ago, and he was joining us to talk about how to manage our money wisely, be good stewards of our resources during the so-called Christmas holiday shopping season. And his starting point, I loved it, he said, sit your family down and talk about the most memorable Thanksgiving and Christmas that each family member has ever had. What is the significance when our children and grandchildren can recall things from their early childhood years, let's say, what is the significance of that?
Well, one of the things that this does, these memories, and by the way, we did not plan that, Austin.
No, I know. It was great.
God landed. The whole idea of a sense of identity. Who are you? What was going on at that particular holiday? Who were you with? These sorts of things strengthen who you are. And when you think about it in our lives as Christians, those memories about what God has done, how he met our needs, how scripture has ministered, those sorts of things remind you who you are in Christ.
Right, and what's important too is as you sit down and tell stories, whether it be about Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever it might be, kids recalling what things come to mind, what things are important, very important.
Yeah. You note in your writing, both of you, that memories help create a sense of identity for individual persons, certainly for us as adults, but for our kids as well. Comment on that from a biblical and spiritual perspective, if you will, our identity being grounded in part by our memories, our recollections of past events.
Well, one of the things, John and I were in high school youth ministry for several years, and one of the things we used to do there, because we realized it was so important that kids remember the things that the Lord had done in their lives, we took kids, oh my goodness, to retreats and all kinds. I'm kind of getting tired thinking about it, Austin, but
yes.
Lots of activities like that. And in the car, inevitably, and of course they got used to it after all the years they were in high school youth group, but if they rode in my van, we went around, everybody in there, there are six people. Tell me something that you learned today. How did God speak to you today? And what were we doing? We were creating a memory of how God loved them enough that he ministered to them that day.
Right. And the other thing having to do with identity, one of the things that we tried to tell our young people to do in youth group was when something happened in their life, they had an experience with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, we told them to go and drive a stake behind the barn. Now, we live out in the country, and that's something that a lot of those kids could actually do. But basically,
sure.
What we were trying to do with those kids was we wanted them to remember. Because, as you said, the identity that they had, how they lived their life, if somebody came up to them and said, oh, that really didn't happen. And they could go back and they could, as we told them, look at that stake. And that's remembering. That's remembering that story in their lives, not a story, but a true thing that happened in their lives. And identity is wrapped up in that, how they live their lives because of what Christ did in their life, how the Holy Spirit affected their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. As I hear the two of you describe this, I just think how biblical and yet how counterintuitive and countercultural this idea is of remembering things. We're a culture, a society that's so focused on the here and now, and there's so many things distracting us from what's really right in front of us. But to look backwards and say, here's what my experience has been. Here's my story of God's faithfulness, perhaps. That's kind of swimming upstream in terms of what's normal in our culture today, isn't it?
Well, you know what? Jesus is countercultural.
Yes.
I mean, truly. And so I think of parents, mom and dad, so what? Help them remember. And you know, these things that Christ did, and also just great family memories. I love it going back and thinking, I remember one car ride that was just hilariously funny. Our kids who are 35, 33, and 29 probably could tell you about that car ride when we all laughed so hard we thought we were going to cry. Those sorts of memories create that family identity, too.
Right, and I think you brought up a great point because our culture today wants to, as I say, muddy the waters or turn things into gray from black and white, right and wrong. And
mm-hmm.
That's another thing as young people, even as adults, as we look back and look at what's right and remember that and live our lives on what's right or wrong and not be confused by all the muddle that society, that culture wants to throw at us today and confuse us. And we sometimes as adults run into that, let alone as kids in their peer groups, trying to make sense out of what's right and wrong and remembering, telling stories, driving a stake, however you want to say it, very important in kids' lives.
You know, memories, actually, they can help the kids have the kind of behavior that they need to have. Remembering maybe something that's not so fun. I've talked about the fun and the laughter, but remembering, I made this bad choice, and there were consequences. So memories can guide behavior.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the case. And as you're describing this, John and Kendra Smiley, it's frankly, my mind keeps flashing back on the Old Testament, the number of times that the Israelites chased out of their homeland. They're on the run. They're in exile. They're wandering around all these many decades. And over again, leadership among the Israelites tells the people, informs the people, and commands them in many ways, stop and remember. Build this monument, set up this pile of rocks, whatever it is. Create a physical structure. Take time and remember God's faithfulness in the midst of your exile, in the midst of your difficulty. This seems like there's wisdom to extrapolate from those ancient stories that apply directly to our families today.
Yes, I learned something that maybe I should have already known, but I was talking about this with a friend about how we had those kids drive a stake behind the barn, and he said, an Ebenezer. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then I checked it out. Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. All right. When we continue, John and Kendra Smiley are on our line as they join us on a regular basis. Parenting experts that they are. They are clinicians, yes, but they are also parents in their own right. When we come back, let's talk about creating productive and meaningful memories, even as we head into the Christmas holiday season. How do we make this year a memorable one? I'll talk with John and Kendra Smiley further in just moments. It's now 7:44. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. We're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. I'm Austin Hill. 7:45 on the Faith Radio Network. John and Kendra Smiley, family counselors, parenting experts, they are on our guest line as we talk about remembering and making memories. Understanding, of course, that our recollections, our memories, are a part of our individual identity as individual persons, and certainly that has a lot of implications for how we raise our children. John and Kendra Smiley, where do you start in a conversation about taking measures to ensure that this Thanksgiving and Christmas season is a memorable one? Where shall we begin with that?
Well, first of all, I think everybody out there, maybe we girls more than you guys, need to realize there is no perfect celebration of a holiday. There is no perfect gift you're going to find. Maybe once every 10 years you'll hit on the perfect gift. But so first of all, knowing what your expectations are, that'll help you have better memories, those of you that are in charge.
Right, and I think the other thing that Kendra and I just kind of floundered upon one time when she and I were talking, and that is she asked me, what do you think a perfect Christmas would look like, or a perfect Thanksgiving? And we were astounded as we talked about that, the differences that just she and I had. So as a family, you know, you sit down and you say, ask your kids, what's a perfect Christmas look like? What's a perfect Thanksgiving looks like? And you're going to get some ideas from those kids that probably will startle you. And then, and what are we doing with that? We're having our kids think about that, and then maybe we can incorporate some of those things, and then they will have a story to tell that they sat down with the family, they talked about it, and oh my goodness, mom and dad incorporated one of those things, and it's something that they will probably remember.
There's going to be a memory from this holiday, and the point here really is to help your child remember what happened. Whether it's that mom had the dinner an hour late, okay, so the turkey was bigger than I planned, whatever it is, and that can be a fun memory. One of the things, if I could just share, I remember John's a military, former military pilot, retired. He went overseas during Desert Shield, and our oldest son was not very old, I guess a sixth grader, and he and I were talking when Dad had been gone for a while, and they weren't used to that, and Matthew said to me, Mom, tell me about the time when Dad was riding Fury and he got too close to the barbed wire fence and the barbed wire fence caught in his thigh and he still has a scar there today. Austin, that's all I know about that story. John was probably 12 years old. But I thought, the power of a memory. What was that little boy saying to me? Mom, I really miss my dad. And I'm kind of afraid because he's far, far away. But if you'll tell me about that memory that my dad just shared probably numerous times through the years, I'll feel better. That's the power of memories.
Very interesting. John, would you like to clarify about the scar?
No, she got it pretty well straight. I jumped on a horse bareback and got my leg ripped up.
You know, I had to extend the opportunity for clarification.
That's pretty good. And you know, as we talk about this, we talk about the Old Testament, Austin, and you're 100% right about putting rocks down and those leaders wanting the people to remember. And we go forward to the New Testament, and you'll notice that Jesus used parables. He talked in stories, and the reason that he did that, one of the reasons of many, one is because the people could remember stories, and that's so important, again, as we talk about this with kids. And one of the other things that Kendra and I did, mostly Kendra did, and that she would start with our boys, and she would have them tell a story, something that happened during their day. And that's important from a parenting standpoint, because then as a parent, you're interested in what your kids are doing. And there, it's a positive thing for them because they're remembering. So storytelling, telling something that happened when they would get home from school. Tell me a story, she would say.
You know what? Also, Austin, we can't make wonderful memories at all times. Above our coat closet is a little plaque that says, home is where your story begins. But I don't have a lot of pleasant memories from my growing up. My holidays were not fun at all that I can remember. You know what? I would like to tack onto that little thing, that little plaque above our closet. Home is where your story begins, but it doesn't have to end there. So if we've got people listening right now who didn't come from those wonderful, fun, you know, stories about getting their thigh ripped up by running into a barbed wire fence. I don't know if that's really pleasant, but they don't have to let their story end there.
And that's I guess, what I want to leave with this question for the two of you. For the parent or perhaps the grandparent who's listening right now and saying, you know, I I haven't done this so well. We haven't done this so well as a family, but I have failed to very intentionally and proactively make good memories. How do I make it right? Can I make it right this Thanksgiving and Christmas season here in the fourth quarter of the year? What would you say to that person who is living with some regrets?
Short answer, yes. A little bit longer. Start now. Start now. Whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be anything grandiose to create a memory. Not at all. Just really taking time to have your child, talk with the child, talk with the folks in your life, asking them questions that are open-ended. You know, tell me more about your friend Sally. You know, whatever it is. Those sorts of things. Creating memories for the kids that will be more pleasant just because an adult took the time to really find out what was on that child's heart.
Yeah, interesting. John, your final thoughts?
I just think this is important. And as I said before, in a parenting realm, one of the most important things that I feel about this is mom and dad being interested in what their kids are doing, and that when they talk to them, that they are listening, and the kids know that. Kids want so much for their parents to be engaged. They want so much for mom and dad to be involved with what they're doing, and just be involved in that what they have to say is important. And this whole thing of remembering and storytelling it just falls into that, and it helps being the parent that God wants us to be.
And you help us be the parents that we desire to be and that God wants us to be as well. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts. They know from firsthand experience. And we have their thoughts on making memories and actually remembering God's faithfulness and our personal experiences. We've got that for you on MyFaithRadio.com. Love what you folks do. Thanks so much for joining us, John and Kendra. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Good to be with you. It's 7:53 on the Faith Radio Network. It's Wednesday morning. Thank you for being with us. I'm Austin Hill. Back in moments. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.